Praise God. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. We're going to read 3 verses of scripture there. And then Matthew 6, we're going to read 2 verses of scripture there. Good to have everybody today. Truly, truly mean that. Luann and I love you all. And let me say, I didn't say it, but focus on everything else. But thank you for everything last week. I said it on Thursday, but thank you for all of the attention, amen, all of the kind words, amen, praise God. I don't do well with recognition, amen, but I appreciate you. We both appreciate you. Thank you for your for the hugs, the gifts, the messages, amen, praise God, and all the cards and just the meal, just everything. We're appreciative of it, amen, and it doesn't go unnoticed, amen, but praise God. I'm thankful, amen, praise the Lord for his blessing. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, going to start with verse 11. Everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Amen. Jesus' words, he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord some praise for his word this morning. Come on. Let's make it happen. Hallelujah.
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 You may be seated today. If the Lord will allow me, I want to minister simply on this thought. Learn to sing in the dark. Learn to sing in the dark. Touch your neighbor. Touch him and say, learn to sing in the dark. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Seasons are something, amen, that are inevitable. We cannot get away from seasons. Seasons indicate change. God designed seasons, amen, to be used to navigate time and to control activity. Amen. I want you to understand that God created seasons to be used for us to navigate time and to control activity. They are used as signs of shifting, and each new season is set up by the preceding one. Amen. So each new season that comes has been set up by the one that just passed. So every new season, amen, is set up by the preceding one. Amen. Now the term has been loosely used in the church culture for the last 20 years or so. So much so that when you say the word, a lot of times you get turned off, or people don't even pay attention because they think they understand, or they think they know. And the word season is just used so casually and so flippantly. But can I tell you, amen, praise God, that does not negate their purpose or their necessity. Just because it has been misused, mistranslated, abused, or brought down, amen, to something that is not a lot of importance or value, or it is equated to just anything and everything, amen, it doesn't take away from the fact that God created them and gave them a purpose and also a necessity. See, we can see the same concept of seasons in our lives, naturally and spiritually. So we see seasons in our lives. I'm about to enter a new season in my life. I had a cousin that just turned 50, amen, this past week, amen, and he's moving into that decade of the 50s, and I'm packing up and moving out. Amen, I'm going into a new season. I'm going to be 60, amen, in about a month and a half, praise God, and I'm not worried about it. It doesn't make me depressed or none of that kind of stuff, amen, praise the Lord, and it's sobering, and it makes me take a little bit more account of my life and where I'm at and what I'm doing, amen, but I'm about to go into a new season, and so we have seasons in the natural. You have seasons when you become a parent, amen, and then when those children grow and they move out of the house, you move into another season, and then you become a grandparent, and that's the best season ever, amen, praise God, but then that season can change, and you move into a great-grandparent, amen, and just so many things, amen, the seasons, but we also, amen, have that concept of seasons in our spiritual life, amen, and we see things, praise God, that we enter into seasons. Now, we know that God has set the seasons in the natural, amen, to coincide with the spirit. That's why we have the spring feast, we have the fall feast, amen, because all seven of those feasts God set up in the natural to coincide with what's going on in the spirit. So when we align ourselves with that, of course, amen, and we enter into a new season. But how many knows that in our spiritual walk, amen, we go through seasons, amen. Sometimes there's dry seasons. Sometimes, amen, there's valley seasons. Sometimes there's seasons, amen, of joy. Sometimes there's seasons of separation. Sometimes there's seasons, amen, when it's just kind of, amen, a little bit, if you could say that, steady. But nonetheless, we go through seasons in the spirit. Amen. But God has created nature to correspond to the seasons and their changes. Amen. We see as summer is now on its way out, the summer season is now, amen, leaving for this year. And we can see one of the signs of that change is the color of the leaves on the trees. They begin to change color. Amen. Not only do they change color, but they begin to dry up and turn, and then they fall off and they land on the ground. The temperature changes. Amen. Hallelujah. There are some plants that die when summer is over, and as fall comes, they die. There are plants that, amen, bloom in the fall. Amen. To let us know that we are in the fall season. Amen. The animals and, amen, the birds in the air, all, amen, of nature, God has created to correspond to the seasons and their changes. And see, we also were created to correspond to the seasons as a sign of our covenant relationship. Once again, when we correspond to, amen, the seasons that God has set, the feast, amen, it's a sign that we are in covenant with God. How we correspond to the seasons that we go through in our spiritual walk is a sign of our covenant with God. Someone reached out to me today asking the meaning of the scripture that said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that you go through." Amen. Because it is a sign that you are in covenant with God. Why? Because if we are suffering, we're going to partake of the sufferings of Christ, but it is a sign that we are in covenant with God. Are you with me this morning? So God created us to respond to the seasons as a sign of our covenant relationship. And if we respond appropriately to the current season that you are in, if you respond appropriately to that current season, it will set you up or it will prepare you for the next season. But if you don't respond appropriately to the current season, then when you get into the next season, there is a very strong possibility that your survival rate will be decreased. Are you with me? Amen. So if you respond appropriately to whatever season that you are in right now, spiritually, then I promise you that the covenant of God will sustain you, and the covenant of God will keep you, and the word of God will transform you, and you will see a change. As seasons are indicators of change, but they're also indicators of a shift. Sometimes it's in the atmosphere, sometimes it's in the physical, but it will, if you respond correctly, amen, and you allow that covenant, amen, God and the word and everything, then I promise you, when you get into your next season, you will be appropriately prepared to endure whatever the next season is. See, there's no way we know what the next season is going to bring. Right now, we can predict a summer, winter, spring, and fall. Amen. Are you with me? But now we can't even predict that. When I was a kid, you could do it like clockwork. We got snow every winter. Amen. We always was building a snowman. Very few winters do I remember as a child going up into an adult that there wasn't, amen, certain things, and that you could almost pinpoint it. Now we don't know. Amen. That's because of the times that we are in. That's because, amen, of where the world is. Amen. I know, amen, the world, as the spirit of the world calls it climate change. I will tell you what it is. It is scripture being fulfilled, where scripture was written long before any scientists ever come up with climate change. That in the last days, that there will come a time when sin will be so deep and sin will have went for so long that the earth will groan and cry out for redemption. That's what's happening. That's why the climate's changing and things are happening. It's because the earth is saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. This earth cannot last much longer with the debauchery and the lasciviousness and the filth and the evil and the sin that man has taken over. So hear me today. Hallelujah. If you, praise God, respond appropriately to what you're going through now, you will be sustained in the next season. I wish I knew what the next season was. I wish I could pick it, and I wish I could choose when it came. Hallelujah, but I can't. But this one thing I know, hallelujah, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the very one who created the universe, who rests his feet upon it as a footstool, also created me. And he is my God, and he is my keeper, and he is my master, and he is sovereign and in control. So though he slay me, yet I must trust him. Let everything be forsaken, but all, hallelujah, that he is will stand and endure the test of time. Are you with me today? I'm just laying a foundation. Stay with me. Some seasons are for planting, some seasons are for tending, and some seasons are for reaping. I said, some are for planting. Some are for tending. Others are for reaping. The planting season is pretty straightforward. It involves time, seed, and soil. Time, seed, and soil. See, the seed is never a concern. You that plant gardens, when you go buy your seed, do you sit and worry for weeks over whether or not that seed is going to produce that tomato or that cucumber? No, you don't. Because what is in the seed is what's has the ability to produce what it's supposed to produce. So we don't have to worry about the seed. You understand me?
Yeah.
Amen. The seed's never concerned. It has everything in it to produce the fruit. Everything in it. The soil, on the other hand, is more involved because the condition of the soil is key as to whether or not the seed is going to have the ability to produce what it's supposed to produce. So the soil involves just a little bit more time. It involves just a little bit more concern. And how we care for the soil. See, here's the thing. It's not just for that moment of planting, but how we care for the soil in the preceding season will determine the time it takes to plant the seed in the next season.
Amen.
I'll say that again. How we take care of the soil and the way we take care of the soil in the preceding season will decide how much time we have to spend sowing in the next season.
Right.
See, if the soil is not good, the chances of the seed taking root and producing the fullest that it can produce is a lot less. But if the soil has been broken up and there's not a lot of rock and there's not a lot of bacteria and there's not a lot of fungus and things in the soil, but there's nutrients and everything in the soil is needed and it's been taken care of, it's been tended to, it hasn't just been left unattended, then as you plant the seed, it'll not only be easier to plant the seed, but you can have more assurance without worry that the seed will produce what it's supposed to. Are you with me? So spiritually speaking, the seed is the word of God. And can I tell you, there is nothing to fret over and to worry. If the word says it, it will produce what it has been sent to do. His word will not return unto him void, but it will come back fulfilling what it was sent to do. Are you hearing me? Amen. So you don't have to worry when you walk by faith. You don't have to worry whether or not the word is going to produce it. What you do need to worry about is your heart, which is the soil. Because if that word that falls on, amen, a stony heart, if that word falls on a heart that's got unforgiveness and bitterness, and that is filled with more of negative influence, more of worldly influence than it is of the things of God, hallelujah, then the chances of the word coming to pass have just now declined drastically. And what's going to happen is you're going to go into the next season barren and more bitter and more angry and have more unforgiveness than you did in the preceding season. I need somebody to help me in this place. I'm just laying a foundation. This is not even remotely my word today.
It'll work.
Now the reaping season is the most enjoyable because of the benefits of harvest. Who don't like to reap the fruit of their labor? I don't know too many people that don't. Now it takes some time and it takes some effort. Hallelujah. But it's the most enjoyable. Because you get to take the benefits. Not only do you reap the fruit, but you reap the benefits. It begins to, it lays up for you, not only in the moment, but amen, for amen, months to come. You can take from that, or you can bring into it, amen, for months later. And not only for yourself, but you can share it with others. You can disperse it. You can give. Are you with me? Amen. So the reaping is the best. I love reaping what I've sown spiritually. When I see it come to pass and I am living in the midst of the breakthrough, it's enjoyable. I love that season. And I'd like to have that as my next season. If I could, just putting in that request before God and you all. Hallelujah. But are you with me? That reaping, amen, season is the most enjoyable. But it involves time, and you got to have the proper tools.
Well,
if you don't have the proper tools to reap your harvest, you're not going to get the fullness of the harvest. You're not going to get all that you can have. Spiritually speaking, the tools are the knowledge that we get, and we apply it and turn it into wisdom. See, a lot of folks have a lot of knowledge, but they ain't got no sense.
Well, I know you, Lord.
A lot of folks got a lot of information, but they don't have sense to disperse it. They don't have the wisdom and the understanding and how to apply it. See, you can memorize John 3:16, and you can, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, yada, yada, yada. But if you do not apply that knowledge to your life, that's the tools of being able to reap what God says you can have. When you begin to take the word and you plant it and you tend to it, now that wisdom says, here is what I need to do with it.
Come on now. Come on. Help me, Jesus.
So we have the season of sowing or planting and the season of reaping. That leaves the season of tending. That's the most difficult to endure. The season of tending to what you planted, the in between the sowing and the reaping. See, because it involves waiting, it involves watering, it involves trust for the proper amount of sun and the proper amount of rain ratio. So you've got to wait for the seed to take root. You've got to water it yourself when necessary. And trust that in that season, the ratio of sun and rain is going to be just right to bring the harvest to its completion. Spiritually speaking, the tending season involves pruning, faithfully taking the word and worship, trusting God's timing, and walking and waiting in faith that he's going to do for your crop what he said he would do. You ain't got time to worry about JoJo's crop, amen, because your focus ought to be on yours. God, are you going, come on somebody, do you help me? But see, social media lets us get in everybody's crop. Social media lets us get in everybody's field. And so the enemy, amen, see, here's what you got to understand though. Amen, what is your season of tending might be someone else's season of sowing. What is someone else's season of sowing might be someone else's season of reaping. So you can't compare your field, amen, to someone else's field because their season may not be the same as your season. So keep your nose, your over your life. Don't worry about whether it's coming to pass for Billy and Sally and Becky and Ricky and all of the other people. Don't worry about that. Hallelujah. Because when you get your eyes off of it, Jesus even said, take your hand off the plow. Look away for a minute and you're going to start sowing crooked lines, and now everything is going to be messed up. So then when the sower comes to plant the seed and he thinks it's a straight line, it's not. So guess what? Some of that seed is going to fall on unbroken ground. Somebody better hear me in this place. Put your hand on the plow, looking away. It's not about backsliding. It's about getting your focus off of what matters as you are tending to your harvest.
Amen.
Are you with me today? Touch somebody and say, learn to sing in the dark. Waiting. Have you ever waited for something to begin to sprout? Some of you gardeners, it ain't my thing. It's just not. I know that it, you know, I know we're coming on a time when we should have to, but it's just not my thing. I used to work the garden with my grandpa. He used to make me work the garden, man. So I just am not a big fan. I don't even like cutting grass, let alone sitting in a field. But if it meant that's the only way I was going to eat, I'd do it because I'm not lazy. Are you with me? Come on, that'll preach later.
You're talking right.
You ever did everything and watch and everything about you? Come up there. Lord have mercy. Have you ever been tempted to dig up the seed to see if it's really taking root or not?
No,
come on. You do that, you're going to ruin it. Come on, somebody. But oh, when that little thing begins to sprout, it's just about yay big, but you're like, oh. I did that. Now, Louetta and I kill flowers. We kill plants. We just don't. We're not good with it. Amen. Praise God. Our thumb is black, brown, orange, whatever, or however it is. We just aren't good with it. Amen. But, you know, you see the little sprout, you're like, oh, yeah. Y'all, let me share this on Facebook. Come on. You know I'm telling you the truth. But then you go out and you're wanting it to grow, and you're like, is that thing even growing? Is it even growing? That just seems like overnight, that don't it? When you see plants and it's like that, and then you look, and then it's like the next morning, bam!
Yeah.
It's like it's shot up. Now you're starting to pay a little more attention, amen? Because you've got to wait. You got to trust that the seed is going to produce what God said it was going to produce.
Yeah.
You got to trust that it's going to happen for you.
Right.
It's one thing for it to happen to over here to somebody else, but you got to trust that it's going to happen to you. See, that's what trust is involved. You can have faith and believe that it's true all you want, but if you believe that he's doing it for you, then you can trust him in the waiting.
Yeah.
There's a difference. And so that tending season, amen, you gotta be faithful, amen, in taking the word. You got to be faithful in your worship. You got to be faithful in trusting God's timing and then waiting in faith. Be still and know that I am God. Cease and desist. That's what that means. Stop. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're interjecting, whatever you're putting into the situation, stop it. And know that he is God. He's near. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. The much-muchness of our God. Man, if you didn't get to listen to that message, listen to him Thursday night. I trust it'll be an encouragement to you. Listen, we were created with the natural instinct to worship.
Yes.
What we worship is what matters. No one has to work at worshiping something or someone.
Amen.
It comes natural. It's an instinct that God put into us. Ultimately, we were created to worship the Creator.
Yeah.
But that can be replaced with anything.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, What is worship? It's what we put the most worth to. It's what we establish has the most worth in our life. It's what we give our undivided attention to. And see, the enemy understands the importance of the worship of God. He gets it. He's been there. He's been in the presence of the throne of God. He has seen the glory. He has seen the cherubims. He has seen the seraphims. He has seen the fire. In his eyes. He has seen the aura that is around the throne of God. See it? See the enemy, the aura is a spiritual thing. The enemy's just taken and perverted it and made it witchcraft. God created it. The throne has an aura.
Wow.
And the enemy has been in the presence of that glory. So he understands the importance of the worship of God. He knows what it releases. He knows what it will produce. See, worship keeps. See, he knows that if he can keep our attention on our circumstances and away from God, then he's got us in a deficit place of worship. When we worship, our attention is on God and not on the circumstances.
Amen.
So the enemy will take advantage of the season to pull our focus from God and from the Word.
I
fell to it before. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've done it. He will pull, take advantage of your season. That's why you got to tend to the soil.
Yeah.
Amen.
Even when it seems that the soil is resting, you got to make sure that it has all that it needs to be ready for the next season. Because once the reaping is over, there'll be another planting season. Are you with me? When we trust the Creator, we trust the season. I said, when we trust the Creator, we trust the season. And so the enemy doesn't want you to keep your attention on the Creator. And see, everything serves a purpose. And God uses all things to grow us.
Amen.
Everything he does is for the purpose of drawing us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with him. It's not about blessing us. It's not about, propelling us. It's not anything about us. It's about drawing us into a deeper relationship with him. Everything that he permits and that he does is for that purpose. So everything serves a purpose in your season. And God uses all things to grow you.
Okay.
He's our provider with a capital P.
Yeah.
Jehovah Yireh. The Lord who will provide.
Yeah.
He is our provider. Touch your neighbor and say, he's your provider. And he tells us, because of that, he tells us to take no thought of whether or not provision is coming. He said, take no thought. I don't care if you eat today. Take no thought of what you're going to eat tomorrow. I don't care if you were clothed today. He said, take no thought as to whether or not you will have clothes tomorrow, because I am your provider. Come on, somebody, hear me. And when sometimes when you're in the season and it seems like he's taking things away or he's withholding things from you, it's hard to trust the season, let alone to trust the Creator. And if we don't fully trust the Creator, then our praise and our worship is not 100%, come on, to him, but a percentage of it is going to the weather, to the what if, or to the wonder, or to the enemy. Come on, are you hearing me? I've said it before, it's been a long time since I said it. Fear is faith in the devil. Because fear is a liar. Everything fear says, amen, may be based on a truth, but it is a lie. And when you put your faith in what fear is telling you, you're putting your faith in the author or the father of fear, and that is Satan. What? Don't tell me somebody got really mad at me one time. I got a nice message.
It's the truth.
I said, help me see it differently. Give me scripture that rebukes me to where that's not evident, and I'll pull back. They can do it. Because when we trust what fear is saying, we respond to what fear says. And we react based on what fear is saying instead of based on what faith says. Come on, somebody help me in this place. So then, if we're not careful, we're worshiping the probability of not seeing God do what we're trusting for him to do. I said it on Thursday that what we do is we go beyond, we supersede our performance in trying to get the expected in. And not going to happen. Because God said, be still. Shut it. Stop it. Close it. End it. Cease it. Cease and desist. Holy Ghost, arrest me. Take me captive. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
It's good.
Right.
It's good.
He said, I am your provider.
Yeah.
And he said, take no thought as to whether or not I'm going to provide for you tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
But do I need to read it again in Matthew? Sure, that's good. Matthew 26, verse 6. Take no thought for life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. It is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Those things have no eternal value. Because listen, if he is who you say you believe him to be, he is not going to let you go naked or hungry.
Right, absolutely. Furnish a table and a wilderness.
You have to trust the season. Are you with me? So, he said, don't even take thought whether that's going to happen. He said, the birds, go ahead, go to the next one. He said, the birds don't sow, they don't reap, nor do they gather a harvest and store up for tomorrow. Yet, God feeds them. Your Heavenly Father. See, that's based on if you're worshiping him.
Come on.
Not your perception of who he is. Not what fear says he is or isn't. Not what the world says he is or isn't. But what you know he is based on the seed that you have sown. Come on, somebody. And this word, and you have planted. And you have planted and tended and reaped. But your Father feeds them. Are you not more worthy than they are? The Hebrew translation says, are you not worth more than they are? Sorry, bird lovers. Listen, the world values a dog more than they do a human life. The world values cats and animals more than they value human life. You can go to jail for harming a dog. Cut a baby up in pieces and throw it in the garbage can like it's nothing and go home and eat dinner. Uh-huh. Toodles.
Sick. Sick it is. It's very sick.
It's where we're at.
Yeah, it is.
So that's pretty raw and intense where we're at. He said, are you not worth more than those birds? They naturally respond to the seasons. Those birds naturally respond to the seasons. And I told you that we were created with a natural response to the seasons. Come on, somebody. And that's worship. So we worship him in the good, the bad, the pretty, the ugly, the in-between, the semi-ugly, the cheap, the not-so-good, the so-so. We worship him in it all because that is our natural response to the Creator if we trust him as such. So they naturally respond to the seasons. Their song is their praise to the Creator. I said the song of the birds is their praise to the Creator. Their song can actually be an indicator of time and the season. More frequent singing indicates spring is approaching. When the frequency of their song increases, there's a change that's coming. It's an indicator that spring is coming. That change in frequency in the winter, when their song and the change in that, how frequent that you hear the birds sing in the winter, it's an indicator that the daylight hours are starting to lengthen. Some of you flip it out after this time change. Because you say it gets dark early. But listen, it only December 21st, it all shifts. December 21st, you start seeing more daylight. So grab hold of yourself. It's just a month and a half. It's just a season. Buckle up, baby. Pull it up, cowboy. It ain't that bad. So when you hear the song of the birds in the winter start becoming more frequent, that means that the daylight hours are getting ready to start lengthening. Because they never stop singing, nor do they lose their song. Some of you lost your song yesterday, and all you're going to do is whine and gripe at 5:30 this evening when the sun goes down. It'll be all right. I promise you it'll be all right. Turn your lights on. Put on your parka. Go out and light a fire. Turn on your patio lights. Make it bright. Do something. Because in case you hadn't noticed, it's been getting dark, 6:20-ish.
Yeah.
You lost your 2.5 hours a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's just an hour now, and you're losing it. People are losing it. And the devil uses it as excuse to be depressed, take anxiety pills, to take on a diagnosis. Come on, somebody help me out. To take on a diagnosis of being blue and depression. I'm not discounting anything. But listen to me, don't sow that seed. Don't sow that seed in your soil. You were created to worship Him in the good times, the dark times, the cold times, in the sun, in the rain, in the storm. You were created to respond appropriately to the seasons, and your song is an indicator. Those birds never lose their song, and they never stop singing. They only change the frequency based on the season or the time. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy to praise Him in all of those seasons. And there are times when you are affected so much so by the season, I'm there right now, that your praise is a little harder to release. So you haven't lost your song and you haven't quit singing. It just might be the frequency has changed a little bit. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? I'm going to give this to you. I've never preached here before. And I was so weirded out when the Lord started speaking to me. Because the dawn chorus that the birds sing will begin earlier in the morning as spring becomes imminent. They have a dawn chorus all year long in every season, but it'll become more frequent and it'll start earlier in the morning as spring is getting closer. So if you embrace the darkness in the morning, you'll hear the song of the birds saying, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
The season is about to shift. Your season is about to change. Can I get somebody to help me? They sing for joy between the envelope of night and day. They sing for the morning before the morning comes. Hallelujah. Because they've never seen a day without a sunrise. They've never seen a morning without the darkness moving out and making way for light. Their song has never forsaken them a dawn. They've never sang a song that the dawn did not respond. I need somebody to help me in this place. And I will tell you that when you worship Him and praise the Creator, amen, in response appropriately to the season, there'll never be a praise, there'll never be a worship that comes out of your life that the dawn will not respond to. He will never fail to bring you out and to release the light of that seed that has been sown in the soil of your life.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing me? I hope this is making sense. It's still dark outside when they're singing, but the clock says day has begun.
Amen.
Just because the sun isn't shining doesn't mean the day hasn't begun. Come on, somebody. Look at your clock. Pay attention to the Osama. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. When you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, like I often do, hallelujah, when you wake up, amen, just because it's dark doesn't mean you can't worship. Just because the sun's not up doesn't mean that you can't praise Him for the new breakthrough. Because the let the praise be affected by the darkness.
Hallelujah.
Who I'm talking to today.
Good word, man.
We don't ever have to lose our song.
Never.
I said we don't ever have to lose our song. We can learn to praise in that in-between season when everything seems dark. We can learn to praise in that tending season. When we're being pruned and we're waiting and we're trusting, we don't see the evidence of our faith. We don't see the evidence of our giving. We don't see the evidence of sowing that seed and planting. We don't see the evidence of faithfully showing up. We don't see the evidence of earnestly hitting our prayer calls. And even when we don't feel, when it feels like our prayers are hitting a brass wall, we still show up. We still move in. We still believe and trust in that season that the Creator still hears every prayer. He listens to every cry and He bottles up every tear. He has invested in your deliverance. He has invested in your breakthrough.
Amen.
And your song,
hallelujah,
will be an indicator. We can learn to praise Him in that in-between season. But we know weeping is only for the night. But joy is coming at the dawn. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Everything that we've trusted and everything that we believe in and everything that's been spoken to us cannot be false. There might be some things here and there that are from a man, some things here and there that were put in by feeling and emotion, but everything that we've sown and planted in faith cannot be false. There has to be a harvest. There has to be evidence of God's faithfulness. I need somebody to help me in this place. And it might be dark right now. But we can sing the dawn chorus even though it's still dark. We can sing that dawn chorus that the birds sing, mm-hmm, who do not even think about what they're going to eat next. Mm-hmm. They don't sit around and think, oh, let me get that stored up for tomorrow, because they just know they're just taken care of.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Oh, God, somebody help me. Did you know that songbirds learn to sing in the dark? They learn to sing in the dark. Help us. They replay and rehearse the neuronal activity patterns involved in their singing in the night. So if I could put that in hibbler terms, in their little bird brain, they rehearse the melody and they go over and over and over in the dark. Come on, somebody. Even though they don't produce a sound, it helps them learn their song.
Amen.
Tell me that there's not a God.
Amen.
And if He cares that much for them, how much more does He care for you?
Amen.
And if it's worth that much to Him,
yes, God,
to give them that ability, how much more are we worth for Him to give us this that we can rehearse in our mind over and over and over in the dark? Even though we don't have a vocal praise, even though we don't have a praise at the moment, in the dark is where we learn to sing.
Come on, come on. Yeah.
In the dark is where we go over and over. If God be for us, who can be against us? Consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which come to concern you and tempt you. See, they go over and over, and they rehearse the neuronal activity patterns. And they don't even produce any sound, but that helps them learn their song. That's what brought me to this message. How faithful is our Creator? Do you know how they learn to sing? It doesn't come natural. They learn to sing by listening to the adult birds and practicing with their own attempts. Until it sounds like what they heard. You got to chew on that for a minute. If you haven't figured it out yet, you and I are the bird in this message. And their song is our prey. Come on, somebody. And that seed is the word. So, you, they practice until they master it. And when they're in the dark, they rehearse it in their mind. See, we get in the dark and we just want to cover up, and that's what the enemy wants you to do, right? He wants you to get all. And so it's getting dark, 5:30 and the blues. And I'm not making fun of it. I know it's real. I'm not discounting it. I listen. I fought depression, dealt with depression for years. I've told you that. When I didn't have something, when I found myself not feeling depressed, I looked for a reason to be depressed because it was my identity. It's how I coped with how messed up I was. It made my mess make sense. And as a result of that, I fight blues. Winter, spring, summer, fall. I ain't nothing to do, but especially, I hate spring. I do not like spring. I know, I'm weird. Spring is when I fight those blues more often than any other season. So as much as I hate the heat, I'm glad that spring is sprung. And it sprang its way out and hopped on down the road. So we all have our songs to rehearse.
Yeah.
Amen.
So what do I got to do when it's dark in that season for me? I got to rehearse the words to that song. I gotta let it go over and over in my mind, and I gotta learn to sing it, and then come on, somebody help me, hallelujah! And I gotta practice it. I gotta keep saying it until the deliverance comes. Till it sounds like what God says.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody, do you hear me? So they play those songs over and over in their brain during the night. That's why I tell you all the time, get in this word.
Every day.
All day sometimes if you have to. And I know you can't carry around a Bible all the time, but nobody has an excuse not to have access to the Bible. You got people that are paid thousands and thousands of dollars to read it out loud on tape.
Right.
You have no excuse not to hear it. You have no excuse not to put it in you. Oh, we find time to put everything else in. All of the negativity and all of the other stuff and all of the other music that doesn't glorify God and all of the stuff that doesn't lift him up, all of the things that are impure and not of a good report. Come on, somebody. We're all guilty. I'm just saying to you, it's just how life is.
Right, yeah.
You got to make room.
Yeah.
You gotta get in it. That's what's gonna renew your mind.
Yeah.
You gotta rehearse it. Amen. That determines our praise. Amen. I said that determines our praise. Can I tell you that the songbird, I learned that the songbird can have some inherited songs, but they can pick up song variants by simply being exposed to someone else's, another bird's song. So I can praise and believe the way my mama taught me, and that's all fine and good, but when I get exposed to something that changes me, come on, doesn't mean that I have to sing the same. Come on, you better help me in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. They have an inherent song. So there's a family song, and even in the neighborhood, amen. But they can learn new songs by being exposed to variants from other birds. Scientists have studied how birds learn to sing. They have incepted a bird's memory of songs into birds, into their brain, using a technique called optogenetics. Now, I'd be a liar if I told you I understood how all of the optogenetics worked. I tried to look it up, but my brain didn't have room. And if I can't give it all to you, I don't want to give it none of it to you. But this I can give to you. This, I don't know how all of it works, but they do it by using light to control the cellular activity of the bird. That should cause the light to go off to you, because his word is what?
Light.
So even when you've lost your song, or you don't know the song, you don't understand my praise, the light that comes from this word can put that song in your spirit, and now you can have that same song that I sing. Come on, somebody, do you hear me today? Hallelujah. Amen. We got to learn to sing in the dark. I want to look at Romans chapter 13. Verses 11 through 12. I'm about to finish. I hope this is making sense to you today. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I want to read it to you from the Complete Jewish Bible, because I like it better. No offense to old King James, but I like it better. Besides all this, you know at what point of history we stand.
Amen.
Come on.
Make it make sense. Right there's your answer.
Yeah.
Make all that you're going through make sense. Right there's your answer. It's because of the point of time in history that we are standing. That's why you're going through the hell that you're going through. That's why you're spending more time in the dark than you are the light. So it is high time for you to rouse yourselves from sleep, for the final deliverance is nearer than when we first came to trust. Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. You're about to get that final say-so. Come on up. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? It's just about over. The night is almost over, and the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and arm ourselves with weapons of light. It's the light that will change the cellular component, affect the neurons of the brain, and teach those birds a new song. I read where they taught some of these songbirds, and I'm not talking about the little parakeets and the things that, you know, that talk back. I'm not about birds that fly and land on your porch, poop on your patio. They taught them. They use this with the opening of the Andy Griffith song. Those birds learned a promise. And And when they released them in a natural habitat that was contained, they could hear the birds singing the Andy Griffiths.
Oh my!
But my point is the enemy will tell you that there will never be a breakthrough in your mind, in your family, in your finances. Come on, he'll tell you in your health, but I'm here to tell you that you take a little light, amen, and you bring it in. Hallelujah, put it in where there's dark, rehearse it while you're in the dark. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Go over and over and over in your mind. Hallelujah, even when you don't have the song and the melody in you, but when the dawn comes, come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah, he's going to give you a new song. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah, he put a new song in my mouth. You're about to get a new song. You're about to get a praise that's attached to the darkness that you're experiencing right now. Oh, somebody better help me. Because you got to learn to sing in the dark.
Hallelujah.
This has changed my belly. Because the truth will make you free. Few more things about songbirds. Songbirds sing to attract their mates. They sing to attract their mates. The female chooses the male, their mate, based on their song quality. Hear me, young people? Look at me. Don't pay attention to Silas. He'll quit crying in a minute. I know he's a gorgeous old boy, and he's a pretty little boy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Coot, scoot, scoot. Get it out your system. But look at me. The bird chose their mate based on the quality of their song.
Amen.
If that one that you choose, you think you're going to spend the rest of your life with, does not have a praise and adoration for the Creator and for who He is. Run like a forest. Run, forest, run. Run, run, run. I don't care how pretty your voice is. If it is not quality, if it is not a praise unto God, do not attach yourself. Amen. Come on, somebody. Birds pass down song traditions, and they're called memes. So they pass down song traditions. I'm thankful for my heritage.
Amen.
My grandmother were alive, she would have been 115 yesterday. Yesterday would have been her birthday. She would have been 115 if she were alive. She lived to be 95. 20 years ago, she left this world. I'm thankful for the songs that she taught me.
Yeah.
Yes.
She couldn't sing. My mom, I'm thankful for the songs that she taught me, that she passed down, that even when it doesn't look like it makes sense, you pray anyway. You praise Him anyhow. You get in your car and you show up at the house of God anyhow. You get on your face. You pray anyway. You tell somebody about the goodness of God anyway. You don't identify with the death and the circumstances, but you have a song. Even in the dark, that's where you learn to sing. I watched my mom learn to sing in the dark as she prayed in the midnight hour, literally many, many times. Hallelujah. Now I sing some of the same songs, but I learned some new ones of my own because of the seasons and the place that God has in my life. But I'm thankful for those songs. Can I tell you that this generation, now look at me, young adults, middle-aged, elders, That generation that I was just talking to about choosing their mate based on the quality of their song. They'll learn to praise in every season through us.
Yes.
Amen.
We're passing our song down to them. We're passing our song down to them. Don't you give up. Don't you ever give up. Don't you bow to the enemy. You stay faithful. You stay strong. Somebody's watching. Somebody's trying to learn your song. Sing it. Learn to sing. I know it's dark, but that's where you learn to sing. But morning's coming. Sing the dawn chorus even before the sun rises, because some little bird somewhere is listening to your song. And they're practicing your song. And even when we don't have a song, we got to renew our minds with the word. Because it's coming. The dawn chorus is coming. Birds do not sing for pleasure. I know Disney has made it be that way. False. Somebody on there, don't you start praising on Disney. Hey, if that's your song, you go right on and sing it. Birds don't sing for pleasure. They sing or as a response. They sing to defend a resource.
Yeah.
Well, I could preach right there.
Yeah, I know.
They sing to defend a territory. That's why they have neighborhoods. Come on. Because they sing, this is my territory. We praise to let the enemy know that God is faithful. He's never lost a battle, so he'll not lose this one. Because it's not my battle, it's his. It's not my reputation, it's his. It's not my statistics, it's his. It ain't my name, it's his. So we praise to defend the resource. And we praise to say, devil, you can't have my family. You can't have my breakthrough. You can't have my finances. You can't have my health. You can't have my mind. And you ain't going to have this season. I know it's dark, but I learned to sing in the dark.
Amen.
They don't sing for pleasure. Our praise is a response to God and what he has done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We praise before we even see the light. We praise before we even see the light. That's how we learn to sing in the dark. I want them to come to the music. I hope this has made sense to you today. The Lord spoke this to me, and I was so befuddled. Like, what? How am I supposed to preach that? There's not even scriptures. But if we look at Song of Solomon one more time, it says, winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers are appearing on the earth. The time of the singing of birds has come. It's going to be time to sing. Just hold on. Don't lose your song. Even though you can't sing, don't lose your song. And the voice that's translated in the Hebrew, turtle dove, the voice of a turtle dove is heard in our land. You'll hear turtle doves coo when spring is almost here. You'll hear the sound of the turtle dove. harvest. The fig tree's putting forth green figs. It means fruit's on the way. Harvest time is coming. The vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. You can smell them. They're not ready to pick yet, but oh, smell that. Smell that. Harvest is coming. Hallelujah. I feel that in the Holy Ghost this morning.
Hallelujah.
If no one else received anything from this word, I sure did when I was studying and putting it together. Hallelujah. Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. Hallelujah. He's got you. He's got you. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know this. I'm learning to sing in the dark. I'm learning to sing in the dark. Sing with me across this house today. I may never ever preach this message again, but I believe it was for this season. Is he wants you to get your soil all messed up. So you'll have to spend more time in the next season and delay. You're here today and you're listening to me, and you can't say unequivocally, quickly, I'm saved. I know that I'm a child of God. Then I want you to come first, because that quick is how quick life could be over.
Yes.
Like a vapor, the Bible says. Here today, gone tomorrow. I want you to come. For whatever reason that you can't say that, whether you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, whether you're lukewarm, you stepped outside the boundaries of his gracious covenant, whatever the reason might be, come. This place, and you'll say, you can say unequivocally without even thinking, I'm in the dark right now. Yes, Pastor, I'm in the dark. Doesn't mean you're giving up, just means you're in a dark place, you're in a dark season. We said all of that about the seasons. But I know now I can learn to sing in this dark place. I'm ready to be strengthened. I'm ready to renew my mind. That you want you to get out of your seat and come. Come on, come quickly. No shame. No need to feel ashamed. No reason should we ever feel